Have a privilege to be before you again. Thank the Lord for the songs that were sung. Thank the Lord that He is a precious friend indeed. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful for the privilege to come before you in prayer, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would bless this hour of service, dear Lord. Lord, that you would go before and that your will would be done in this service, Lord. And Lord, that you would bless it. There would be understanding, dear Father, and rebuke and bind the enemy. In Jesus' precious name, we ask these blessings. Amen. Have a thought this morning. But if not, I was thinking, reminiscing, you know, whenever I've made it to the meeting here, me, Sister Shanika, Brother Nathan, we'll get out there and we'll start reminiscing about our childhood growing up here in the congregation and who was here and, you know, different memories. And we'll start talking about some of the elder saints that we remember and their example and what it meant to us. And I could look around the congregation. I could see where different ones that were here when I was a kid sat. I could see Sister Jennings sitting right over here and Sister Foster and Brother and Sister Parrish right over there and Brother Charles Taylor and Sister Danella. I could go with Brother and Sister Ruth or Brother and Sister Lawrence Taylor. And I could see where Brother Holmes used to sit. And I look around and I could see where different elders that I once remember sitting in these seats, I could see where they sat. And so I started thinking about it, and the Lord's given me this thought before about the need for us to be consistent, for us to be determined in this world that we're living in today. There are a lot of people who would like to name that they are something, but then they're wishy-washy. They falter when the going gets tough. But the Lord is in need of some people who have determined within themselves that no matter what comes my way, no matter what trial, no matter what test, no matter what adversity is coming upon me, I need to remain strong because He's due to trust. And we're living in a time where we need to see that consistency. We're living in a time where there are young people in the congregations that are needing to see some of those saints that I once saw. That benefited my salvation. It was an encouragement to me, but I look around the chapel here. You have Landon and Grayson, and then you have Brother Anthony's children here, and there's others that come and from time to time, and they're going to need some people that they can look back on and say, I remember that seat that Sister Serena occupied. I remember that seat that the high towers and, or, you know, I could see where they used to sit. And now there's other people sitting in those seats. We have to fill the shoes. They've gone to their reward. They're gone. They're not going to come back. They're not going to be able to pray for us. I remember one of the battles Grandma was in, and I remember asking her, well, would you like me to call the saints for prayer? She said, no. Some things you just have to learn to pray through for yourself. Sometimes you just have to learn how to go to God for yourself. And I remember after she passed, I remember I was driving down Glen Oaks there in the valley. And I remember saying, well, Lord, who am I going to call when I need prayer? And He just said, you know, you could call me yourself, right? You don't have to call on anybody else. But we need to have some people that know that we can call out to the Lord. And it is good. I'm not trying to downplay. It is wonderful to be able to go to the saints and say, you know what, my brother, my sister, I have this need. And I know that you can get a prayer through to the Lord. And so I need you to join with me. That's a lot of times people want to drop their prayers off to ministers and to elders in the congregation. I'm going to drop this off to you. You pray about it. I'm going to go on about my day. But no, we need to be determined. We need to be focused that we're going to do whatever it takes. Why? Because we have a goal. Yes. I don't think I've said that before, and I don't think we could stress that enough, that we have a goal, and that's heaven at any cost. And with that goal in mind, we must make up a determination now. So let's we're going to do quite a bit of reading, and we'll, if the Lord has us jump around, we'll jump around and skip some things, because these are very familiar passages. Daniel, the first chapter, we'll read 1 through 15. Daniel 1, 1 through 15. I'm going to move this because it's kind of in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessel into the treasure house of his God. And the king
spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judea, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Thereof he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your face's worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had sent over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, through thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat.
We see here that the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, had overtaken Jerusalem, and he wanted them to eat of certain types of foods. But these men had purpose in their hearts that they were not going to defile their bodies. They had remembered some commandments that were given to them by God. When the Lord gives us a commandment, it supersedes that which man has set in order. And so the king said, I want you all to eat of these meats, and I want you to drink of this wine, because I want you to be fair. I want you to be a strong, strapping young man. I have need of you. And so this is what I'm commanding you to do. But these young men, I can't do that. So they went to the prince of the eunuch and they said, look, I understand, but we have a covenant. We have created something with God, an agreement that he has given us some commandments of what we're not to do, and this is breaking it. And we're not going to do that. So this is what we're asking. Give us 10 days. That's all we're requesting. I understand that your head's going to be in danger, that you could be killed for allowing us to do this. But all we're asking is give us 10 days. Let the Lord prove who he is. Give us 10 days. We are going to eat what we believe would be pleasing to our Father, and he is going to have mercy upon us. He was a little hesitant, wasn't he? Yeah, he was. But he said, I'll give you 10 days. Now drop down in verse 17 through 21, please.
As for these four children, God gave them
knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Yes.
Understanding
in all vision and dreams.
Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus.
So we see here where these young men had determined that we're not going to eat that which the Lord does not have his approval on. We're going to stick with what the Lord has commanded of us. And in doing so, the Lord richly blessed them. There is a blessing that the Lord has for us when we choose to deny the things that the world has for us and continue to go after what he has for us. There is a blessing and a provision that he will give to us when we choose to go his way. And these young men chose that we're going to eat this, which we believe the Lord would be pleased. Now, what was the king's desire? The king wanted some men that were smart, strapping. It says that he wanted them to be skillful in wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such ability. This is what the king wanted his men to have. And these four men chose something different than what the king had. And what did it say? How did the Lord bless them? It says that they were 10 times better. They're 10 times smarter in science and understanding of these things because they had chosen. You know what? I understand your authority here, King, over this, but I have to answer to a higher power. There is a God that supersedes what man says. And so they came to this conclusion that this is what we're going to do. And they were blessed 10 times better. And they were fairer. Daniel had an understanding of visions that, well, we heard the other night, I believe Brother Paul turned to where generations later, Nebuchadnezzar's son, can't think of his name, Belshazzar, thank you, where he came and he needed some interpretation of something. And what did his mother say? There's a man who your dad had over some things that had some abilities in this area. You might want to give him a call. Why? Because he chose to be obedient to God. He chose rather to obey God than man. Are we determined that we're going to obey God over man? You know, there are some laws that, or there might come a time where they might come against us as Christians. There might come a time where we look at the martyrs, that they went through some things. They had some laws that were made that they couldn't do certain things, and yet they still chose to be faithful to God. They still chose to go out and do that which the Lord commanded, and the Lord blessed them. Are we determined that if the police came in here right now and said that this meeting was illegal, are we determined that we're going to still... We'll just go down without a fight. We'll just close the doors, and that's it for Christianity. Or are we going to stand up? These four men, they were not old. This is a challenge to us as young people that are in the audience, that there is proof in the scriptures that we have a purpose. Yeah. We don't just get to sit around and just think, oh, well, I'm going to just let the older saints, the older ministers, trust me, I wish I could just sit down and let the older ministers. I was so happy to see the Johnsons walk in this morning. Y'all don't even know. I was hitting backflips in my seat. But when the Lord commands something of us, are we willing to step out and do it? Are we willing to be made uncomfortable? This says, if you read into this few verses, it mentions that they had brothers there. It wasn't just those four young men. They had other of the children of Judah that were with them. And yet, it only talks about these four. I could only conclude from that maybe they decided, you know what, I'm going to eat which the king has set before me. But these four had made a conscious decision and effort. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go with the Lord all the way. That has to be our determination. I mean to go right on until the crown is won. Should opposition come? Should foes obstruct my way? Should persecutions or fiery dark be? Come on, y'all know I ain't good at quoting some. As in the ancient day, with Jesus by my side, in his peace within my soul, no matter if the battle's hot, I mean to win that. We have to have that determination. I don't know about you, but I'm determined. I'm going to go all the way. Yes, there are some things that are going to come up that are going to be hard to deal with, but I'm determined to fight on. Daniel, the second chapter, verse 47 and 49.
The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him a ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king.
Here we see again where the Lord richly blessed, where the king had to rely. Now, this is a king. Did he serve just one God? Well, he had many different gods. And yet he says here in verse 47, your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. Now, this came by way of whom? Who was the one that interpreted the dream for him? Daniel. Y'all wake out there? Daniel. So here we see yet again where Daniel chose to obey the Lord, and there were some blessings that came along with his obedience. And there was some realization by the world that this man had some power, that this man was in touch with God. You know, there are some times when we're out in the workplace where people might realize there's something different about you. That we heard the other day about Sister Ava's testimony about how that person said, oh, well, when you prayed and it's like magic. No, it's not magic. It's God. We're going to have to be able to live so close to the Lord to where when people come to us and they're wanting some prayer, where we can go before God and the Lord show forth his glory. Show forth. It's not in me. It wasn't in Sister Ava. She didn't take credit. It's God. But there has to be some obedience on our part. We can't just determine that we're just going to go on and we're going to live our life any old kind of way. And then we're going to try to persuade the Lord with fiery words. And fair speech is not how you win the blessings of God. An obedient life, an obedient heart. That's what works. And these men were proving to be obedient. Daniel, the third chapter, if you can't tell, we'll be in there for a little bit in Daniel. Daniel, the third chapter, we'll read verse 1 and then drop down to verse 12 through 23.
Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 84 cubits and 12 breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon.
Verse 12.
There a certain There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my God, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to
answer
in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not,
be it known unto thee, O king,
that we will not serve nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace.
That's good right there. Thank you. So now here we see there came an occasion where Nebuchadnezzar called everyone together and he said, I'm going to create this image. And when you hear this music, when you hear all these things, I want you to bow down and worship. And if you don't, you're going to be in some very serious trouble. And these three young men had determined that while the king is the king, and he did make this a law, a decree, we're not going to be able to do that. Why? What commandments were given to their fathers? Have no other gods before me. Well, do they just get to just choose because, well, Lord, I'm in danger. I'm gonna just bow down. Did they choose to, you know what? This danger is coming our way. So this is what we're going to do because the Lord knows our hearts. Isn't that the excuse that we like to use these days? Well, the Lord knows my hearts. The Lord knows where I really stand. And they say, you know what? The Lord knows where I really stand. So when all this music, when all these things start going on, this is what we're going to do. We're going to bow down outwardly. But inwardly, we're going to stand tall. Is that what they decided to do? Did they think that that would be what would be the just reason? Because, well, we're going to be in danger. So you have where the music starts playing. And what do? They remain standing. I don't think they were trying to make a spectacle or a show of themselves, but they remained standing because they knew what the commandments of God were. Somebody went to the king and said, look, you have three young men who you said that this is what is supposed to go on, and they have chosen to rebel against you. And he was furious. And he gave them an ultimatum. He said, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to give you another opportunity. When this happens, bow down. But if you don't, there's going to be some serious repercussions. And what was their response? We're not careful to answer thee. What does that mean? That means we don't need to go somewhere and have a board meeting to decide what we're going to do. We don't need to go somewhere and discuss amongst ourselves real quick what our answer is going to be in concern to this king's statement back to us. We are not careful to answer thee, O king. This is what's going to happen. We're not doing it. We're not trying to be disrespectful. We're not trying to be harsh or anything, but I have to obey God. So we're not going to bow down to thee. And he said, who is this God that's going to deliver thee? Now, remember the verse we just read previously in chapter 2 when the dream was interpreted? He said, your God is a God of gods, a Lord of kings. He's acknowledging your God. But now the tone has changed. Who is that God that is going to deliver thee out of my hands? Daniel said, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not careful to answer thee. Our Lord is going to protect us. But if not, I'm determined that no matter what happens, I'm determined that if I die, that there's a better place prepared for me. And so I'm not going to give in just because you're threatening me, just because you're saying that this is what's going to happen. The Lord is going to take care of me. But if he doesn't deliver me out of your hands and I perish because of this, it was still worth it. Do we have that determination today that no matter what comes our way, no matter what illness, no matter what disease comes upon our bodies, no matter how the world may look on us, you know, there are times when the world persecutes us just in their talking.
Yes.
Oh, look at them. They think they're holier than thou. They think they're better than the rest of us. Or look at it. They dress like that because, oh, they just want to be seen. Or they want. Why were these men doing this for the rest of the people to see? Or did they have a consecration to God? They had a consecration to God. And so they said, you know what? We're not careful. This is what's going to happen. You can play your music again. You could do all this stuff again. You could do it all day for all we care. I'm not bowing down. And his wrath turned so vehement that he wanted it not just hotter. I want it 7 times hot. And then what were they? They were bound and shoved into that fire because they would not bow down to this king's image. And what did the Lord do? Who is that God that's going to deliver? I'm going to show you who I am.
Yes.
We see a few verses down there. It says that as he was looking, Nebuchadnezzar asked them, how many men did we cast into this fire? Behold, I see a fourth one, and he looks like the Son of God. Whoa, hold on. Wait a minute. Wait, hold on. How do you go from who is that God? Thought you didn't know him. But now you're saying, this looks like the Son of God. There's something going on there, right? Then you look at what happened. The guards, the men that bound him, shoved him in. I don't even think they got too close to just push them on in. And what happened to them? They died. You want to see who this God is? I'm going to show you who I am. The men that didn't even go in the fire died. And all the rope that they were bound with burned off. But it says, not a hair on their heads were singed. Not even the smell of smoke was upon them. Who is that God that's going to deliver? I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to show you what power I have. That my power, my glory is high above yours, O Nebuchadnezzar. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar? What was his end like? Does it say something about him out there eating in the fields, the grass, and becoming something like a dog? You want to see who this is? You want to see who that God is? I'll show you. And I'm going to say it this way. Our God can't be messed with. He's more powerful than any. Ask David. Ask Goliath. I think about the verse over there. I believe it's in 1 Samuel when the Ark of the Covenant was in the same room as the God Dagon. What happened? That God fell over, right? What did they do? Oh, we're going to go pick our God up. Our God ain't strong enough to get up on his own. I'm going to go pick my God up. And what happened again? Not only did he fall a second time, now he's broken into pieces. And if you want to fix him, you need some super glue. Because our God is more powerful. Our God is greater. We serve a wonderful, matchless God. And we in today's day and time need to have this same determination that these young men have. No matter what, I'm going to go all the way with him. His commandments are just. His commandments are right and fair, and they are perfect for my life. So what a testimony. I don't think these three young men were doing it for glory or for honor. I don't even think they knew that one day Daniel was going to record all the happenings and they would end up in what we would know as our Bible. I don't think that was part of their determination to get into some scripture. I believe they purpose in their heart. Yes. And scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart. Yes. These young men had a desire to please God. How's our desire to please him? So let's turn over to the other. The fourth one in this story, Daniel, the sixth chapter, verse 5 through 23. We might again jump around. Well, here, hold on. Before we read that, we know what happened here in this fifth chapter of Daniel, or sixth chapter, excuse me. The king, some young men had came to the king and wanted to recognize his glory. Lord, you're wonderful. So this is what we're going to propose. No man pray to any other God for, let's see, how many days? Maybe we'll read it. Verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So they already knew that we're not going to find anything. His life is clean and clear. We're not going to find anything against him. For some reason, they just did not like Daniel. So we're going to find an occasion against him concerning his God. So what did they do? Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that that Daniel shall ask a petition of any God. That's really what they were saying. They were only going after one person here. So they said, oh, whosoever. You know, they're skirting around what they're really trying to do, because the king had respect for Daniel. The king had seen what the Lord had done through Daniel. So they said, and they're jealous of it, because who is that God? That God that is higher than all these other gods. Whosoever shall ask a petition of any God or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it shall not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. What happened next? We know that Daniel, he prayed how many times a day? Three times a day. And did he close his windows and pray in secret? No, he kept it open. And then this decree came. So then he decided, you know what? I better modify some things. I better, what you say, use some wisdom. Let me use some wisdom here. That's the problem, is we want to use wisdom against the wisdom of God, huh? So he says, I'm going to close my windows and pray to my Father. No, he left it open. And believe those men knew what time he prayed. And I believe that maybe, just give me a little bit of liberty in my mind's eye, I could see they came by that first time and said, yep, I knew he'd do it. I'm going to give him one more chance. I'm going to come by the second time. Let him think he got away with it this first time. The second time, all right, let's go straight to the king. Them people over there having service at 10:30, 2:30, and 7. Let's get on over there. So they went to the king and they said, hey, king, we know you like them, but this is the law. You signed it under these special things, under the Medes and Persians, that this is something that can't be changed. You cannot alter this, even though you're the king. You know, there's a reason why they chose to have it named under this name. But you see here, the king, he had a responsibility. He had them cast Daniel into the den of lions. And Daniel was down there all night. Those lions were there too. I don't like dogs, much less a lion. But here this young man was, and I believe that in that time he was praying. But if you read, somebody else was praying and fasting. Yes. Who was praying and fasting? The king. Now, I believe that these kings, they, you know, here we are in Babylon, they have multiple different ideologies, belief systems, and trying to pray out to these different gods of this thing, god of that thing. I wonder if somewhere in the night, in the midst of the king's praying, he remembered how the Lord blessed Daniel. And I wonder that in his praying and fasting to whatever gods he decided, that he decided to call upon the God of Daniel and say, you know what? I'm not well acquainted with you, but I've seen your hand. I've seen what you have done through your servant Daniel. And so I'm pleading, if I can, for you to have mercy upon Daniel. Who was the first one there the next morning? The king went, Daniel, are you still down there? Has your God delivered you? And what did Daniel say? Yes. O king, live forever. He spoke up and said, I'm still here. My God had mercy. And the king was happy, excited. And what did he do? He had them pull Daniel up and shove some men down there. And what happened to those men? Who is that God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? I'll show you. Kept the bellies of those lions were probably full all night. They probably weren't even hungry. But the minute those other men touched the bottom, something was opened. We're not laughing, or we're not finding joy because these men perish. But we're finding some comfort at who God is and the power that he has. Daniel purposed in his heart way back when, and he has kept it throughout these chapters. I don't know how much time spans between each chapter, but he has kept it from when they first had their occasion with King Nebuchadnezzar to now. He's under Darius, and he's keeping the same consistency, the same determination that I'm going to please God, even in the midst of being cast into the den of lions, even in the midst of danger, the midst of death, he still purposed within himself, I'm going to please. I'm not going to hide it. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. That's what Daniel decided to do. That's what we have to decide to do. Yes. Are we supposed to be a city set up on a hill? A light that can't be hid? But are we going to walk around because sometimes we're scared and we're just going to hide our little light? And every so often when we get around just the saints, we'll let it shine. And then when we get back around the world, we're going to... No, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all purpose in their heart to please the Lord. And we're going to have to purpose within ourselves. I'm going to please the Lord no matter what comes up, no matter what comes my way. Acts, the 14th chapter. Acts 14, 7 through 20.
And there they preached the gospel.
Yes.
And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly, beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet.
Yes.
And walk.
Yes.
When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have them sacrificed with the people, which, when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all the things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own way. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. Come on, verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews of Antioch.
Yes, tonight, verse 20.
And Iconium, who persuaded the people, and
having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead.
Howbeit,
as the disciples stood round about him,
he rose up
and came into the city.
And the next day,
he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So you see here, these two apostles walking by, they saw a man that was lame, and they had, in the fear of the Lord, given him a commandment to get up and walk, and he was healed. And the people looking on, they marveled and said, oh, these are gods amongst us. And they wanted to start praising and bringing glory and honor to them. And Paul, hold on. We're men just like you. We're men of like passions. There's only but one God, and it's not us. That's what the ministers are saying. There's nothing in and of ourselves. We're people just like you. We don't need special seats up in the pulpit to preach from or any. We're just like the rest of us. And Paul is saying here, there's no need for all this. He's pointing them from looking at him to looking at the Father. And they had a reaction to it. what Paul was saying, and they stoned him. And what did Paul do? Got right back up and went right back in there. Now, would that be our testimony? Would that be where we're out there doing the work of the Lord and some people lay hands on us and we're, okay, I'm going to go right back over here. I know what y'all did last time I was here. No, some of us would be like, I've said it before, Lord help me, because I might be one of those to be like, look, Lord, I need you to go before me and make sure they want this gospel before I go. That's how man thinks. Lord, I need you to do something before I go back over there, because the last time I was there, I got stoned. And so here Paul had a consecration to the Father that where you send me, I'm going to go. Regardless of their attitudes toward me, I'm going to go. I'm willing to do it because you've given me this burden. This is the commandment you've given me. Paul, you look at his gospel and he in some of his letters, I think in one of the letters to Corinthians, he starts mentioning shipwreck, stoned, received 40 lashes, saved one. All these things that Paul went through, and you think, oh my goodness, what? Because he had a determination to please the Lord. He had a determination that no matter what comes my way, no matter what happens, I'm going to go all the way with him. That has to be our determination. No matter what the Lord allows, I'm going to do it. One of our writers, I believe Brother C.W. Naylor, I believe it was him, that was in bed for 40 years. Yeah. He had had an accident, a beam from a tent fell on his back. If I remember correctly, and I think the next thing that happened, he was down for about a year or two. And then I believe a bus hit him or something of that nature. He got hit. There were two different incidences that he got injured. And the second one put him down in bed for 40 plus years. Many of us would give up. But what did he do on his bed of affliction?
Well, I need to go right on.
Oh, what? What? He wrote, what? I mean to go right on. No matter what comes. 223. He had a determination. Wrote some of the most beautiful songs in this book. But because he had a determination to please the Lord. Are we determined to please the Lord? We won't read the last two scriptures for the sake of time, but one of them was dealing with Stephen. Stephen stood before the council and he gave them some harsh words, called them stiff-necked. You all have done nothing but gone against God. You crucified the Son of God. It's your fault. And what happened? They lay hands on him. I believe it says they started biting at him. And they took him out and stoned him. And this was, what did they do with his clothes? Whose feet? Saul's. And what did Stephen say? Charge them all, Lord. Remember which ones are here stoning me. They deserve what's coming their way. No. Lay not this sin to their charge, Lord. Lord, what they're doing to me, I'm suffering for the gospel. I'm suffering for your sake, not for mine, for yours. So Lord, don't lay this to their charge. Revelation tells us, I would that you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Because there are so many out there that are just so willing with just going halfway. Not fully. Are we really fully sold out to the Lord? That's what it's going to take to win the crown of life. We're going to have to be fully sold out that no matter what comes my way, no matter what neither death, nor height, nor principalities. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. We're going to have that determination. Oh, Brother DeMar, we don't see those types of things happening in today's day and time. Well, thank the Lord. Who's to say that those things won't come? Who's to say that there won't come a time where we're having to, Brother Paul has mentioned multiple times about the people of God hiding out in the catacombs and different things, trying to have worship. Who's to say that we're not going to be in that place one of these days? Who's to say that 388 North 1st Street or 12312 Osborne Place, who's to say that those addresses are? We're going to have to be determined that no matter what comes our way, no matter what happens, we're going to make it. And then we also have to be, there has to be a determination that if, imagine if there was only one seat left in heaven. Will we still be determined to run all the way for that seat? We're going to have to be determined no matter what. Heaven is too precious. It's too important. And the Lord is so worthy. Yes. He's worth, he deserves a life that is fully sold out to him. Yes. He came down. Think about this. I'm almost to my seat. But he was willing to condescend to this. We sung a song yesterday, and Sister Serena brought it out. I believe it was 212. It talks about he came down to this. He came down to this old world, was willing to lay aside his divinity, willing to lay aside his majesty to walk among men, to be born in a stable, willing to have his own creation, his own people lay hold of him, beat him, strip him, place a crown of thorns on his head, was willing to be nailed in his hands and his feet, willing to be pierced in his side for you, willing to be embarrassed. You know, the pictures that we see of Jesus that people like to post, it always shows where their growing area is covered up. They wanted full-blown humiliation in that time. They did not care about his modesty. They didn't care about him. He was willing to come down and suffer, be placed in a borrowed tomb. He did all this for you and me. As he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? I pray for you that your faith fail not. He was willing. We owe it to him. We owe it to him to go all the way, to be determined to not waver, to not falter. May the Lord help us. Continue to pray for me.